This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 3, Episode 5 of TMNT Classic, Sky Turtles. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
You're listening to Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 23. Episode 23.
We should have like an intro, like not a theme, but like a saying where we start every show with.
Yeah, we should.
We should. We should do a lot of things.
There's a lot of things we should do.
Free podcast.
Worth mentioning, I have taken down the first four episodes of the show from because we run out of space. So I was gonna do the whole season, but I just did the first four.
Yeah. So listeners, get on this.
If you want to listen to episodes 1 through 4, send us an email at neutralpodcast@gmail.com and we'll figure something out.
We'll send you a link to the Dropbox.
Yeah, that's actually good.
Don't do that.
I'll send space the file.
We'll send space to the file.
You know, you can pay for it. How about that?
Yeah, it's a premium. Those are premium apps now.
Premium, quarter of an episode. A buck. You don't have a dollar, you cheap bastard.
PayPal us at to podcast.
I should set up PayPal. That'd be really funny.
No one would. Right. Whatever.
If somebody wants it, tell me. You know, we'll figure something out.
So the episode.
So let's talk about Sky Turtles. I like how this episode starts with Michelangelo being criticized about his weight.
Yeah, it comes out of fucking nowhere.
I didn't know Michelangelo. I mean, it makes sense he would have a weight problem because he eats like crap. But I mean, he was doing all that karate all the time. I guess it's just not enough.
Yeah, he just eats. He eats a bunch of pizza, but like they all eat a bunch. They never eat anything besides pizza.
Yeah, but Mikey's more into it,
I guess. Which brings us to our first of the pizza ratings: chocolate sprinkles on pizza.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that sounds like the best one yet.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
That just sounds like instead of like you when you were in your kitchen looking for the crushed red pepper, you accidentally grabbed sprinkles. You're like,
that happens all the time.
Oh well. I guess I'll just eat this.
A common mistake. I grabbed the sprinkles instead of the red pepper. Let's give it a shot. Try it out.
I mean, it's just like an extra top. It's not even a topping. It's like a seasoning on a pizza.
Oh, also, I'm going to throw this out there. I told you this the other day. I pre-ordered the new Turtles game coming out. Mutants in Manhattan, whatever it's going to be called.
When did that come out?
I don't know, but I want it now.
When will I be in your area when that comes out?
Oh, that's a very good question, actually. Yes, this is a very good question. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mutants in Manhattan. That's what it's called. The pre-order bonus actually gives them alternate costumes where they're supposed to look like rock and roll. They call it the rock and roll pack, right? But Mikey has these awesome sunglasses on, and he's wearing a record with a gold chain around his neck.
It says summer 2016, so that might...
Wait, hold on.
Get a release date on that.
I want to get a release date here.
According to the official PlayStation blog, it's just summer 2000, but I don't know if that's up
there. It's got to be...
On Amazon, it's listed as...
Yeah, go there.
Release date, May 24th.
I'm not waiting for you.
I know. So unlock everything, and then when I get over there...
You can just. I also recently got a PS4.
Yeah, unlock everything so I can just come over and.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, there's no PC version. Fuck.
What? I can't believe that. There must be a PC
version. There's gotta be a PC version. There's a PlayStation 3 version.
I know.
And a 360 version.
I was gonna get it for the PS3, but now I have PS4, so I'm just gonna get it for that.
Anyway,
we're gonna talk about that when that comes out. That looks awesome. I'm very excited about that.
Fun.
And you know, we're doing another episode on Saturday, and I thought to myself, it's nice to watch Ninja Turtles on Saturday.
It is.
It should.
I'm locked inside on a beautiful day working.
So. I'm always inside on beautiful days. If I had the day off, I wouldn't go anywhere anyway.
If I had the day off, I wouldn't be where I am right now, sitting in front of my computer looking at Flash files.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Anyway.
So Mikey's fat.
Supposedly.
Mikey weighs 190 pounds.
So then Splinter gives him, like, telling him to stop eating pizza or whatever, and he starts floating away.
And Mikey is, what, 5'5", 5'6"? The turtles are not that tall.
No, the turtles are like, yeah, the turtles are like 5'4", or something.
5'4", 190, that's not good.
That's a chubby dude. Well, he's also got, like, a fucking shell, so.
He's got a shell, come on.
They're heavy. They're heavy, right?
He's got a lot of muscle.
How much do the...
Oh, my God. We don't need to look into this. The
Ninja Turtles weigh. Yahoo Answer. Oh, that's a 2014 film. Never mind.
So anyway, and what's funny too is well, I was joking about this, watching this. I was going,
okay. One guy asked it, how much did Ninja Turtles weigh? One guy goes, 7 or maybe 8.
7 or 8, that's the answer.
I don't know what that means. Seven. Other people respond to him like, oh, 9, maybe 6. The guy's like, 5, maybe 10.
5, maybe 10 turtles.
According to this, it's 147 to 180 pounds.
All right, well, so Michelangelo's over. Either way, he's over.
Yeah.
10 pounds. Getting fat.
According to Turtlepedia, he's 180.
Oh, he's 190 in this episode.
Yeah. Gained a whole 10 pounds of pizza weight.
10 pounds of pizza weight. It's like, it's got to drop it. And then, I've noticed in the Turtles, you notice how it's a big thing about weight? 2 episodes or 3 episodes ago, Irma.
Let's not begin. There's a lot of Irma in this episode, too.
There's a lot of Irma in this episode. Fuck. So Mikey starts to float away, and then...
Well, it's weird, because according to the logic of the show, someone shot an anti-gravity ray at everybody, but Mikey just floats away in the beginning.
Yeah, he only gets affected first.
For the joke, and then Donnie's like, why are you floating away, Mikey? Running away when Splinter's giving you advice?
And it's
I'm floating away, dude.
There are so many jokes in this episode that are like that. The whole episode, you know, someone's floating in the air. I told you not to ask for a raise. The whole episode is bad puns.
There's after this, they cut to Channel 6, and Irma is telling April about how she found the love of her life.
Yeah.
And she's like, he makes me like feel like I'm walking on air.
And then
they fly away. Also, who is that guy?
Some guy.
Because then she just dumps him right away. She's like, nah, fuck it.
Well, because she thinks he's cheating on her with April.
Irma is like grasping at straws at this point.
Anything. That guy's probably not even real. She found this picture in a magazine. Let's be honest.
Someone's catfishing her.
Yeah,
Irma would totally get catfished.
Irma would totally get catfished. I completely agree with
Irma
that.
Irma is the type of woman that writes checks to a prince in Nigeria.
So in case people who don't know what catfishing is, it's when somebody pretends to be somebody romantically involved with you to get money out of you.
On the internet.
On the internet. Exclusively. I'm sure it existed before the internet. It's just probably a little more complicated.
Yeah, it's way harder to do.
Yeah, I mean, you probably had to, there wasn't this prevalence of credit cards. It was really hard to get a credit card in the 80s. It was not easy.
Yeah.
You could just access someone's checking account. You know, it was a little bit tougher. You probably would have to get them to send you money through Western Union. That's probably the way to do it.
So Irma, you know, she dumps her picture, and then Vernon immediately starts complaining because he's floating in the air as well, and he blames April for asking for a raise or something stupid.
Yeah, he blames April for asking for a raise from their quote-unquote tightwad boss.
Yeah, and then he appears.
They call him a tightwad. That seems a weird...
You ever heard that expression?
Yeah, no, I've heard it, but I feel like, isn't that that's like not a kid's thing, isn't it? Isn't that
tightwad?
Where did that come from?
I just always assume someone's a tightwad doesn't want to open their wallet. That's how I always thought the expression, went. That's what it was about. You know, you won't open your wallet.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Don't care.
Who cares?
So anyway, and then it cuts to Shredder, you know, messing around with this anti-gravity machine underground.
Yeah,
he's talking about how it works.
Well, he's like, I made this. It's the greatest. And Krang's like, you didn't make shit. I made.
Yeah, you didn't make anything. I'm taking credit for things you didn't do.
But then it cuts back to Channel 6, and it suddenly turns off.
Yep.
And the gravity comes back, and Irma falls to the ground, and Irma says, and I quote, "Oh, April asked her, like, are you okay?" And Irma goes, I'm fine. I'm used to being dropped.
Yeah, I remember that. That's pretty funny.
Like, oh, Irma. You have a sad, sad
life. She's not getting any sympathy from me.
No, sure. Well, not from you.
Not from me. I don't care. I'm used to nobody calling me. Yeah, because you're lame. Maybe you should change. Do you ever think of that? The problem is you, Irma, not everybody else.
Right? Also, once they fall, they call the turtle. April calls the turtle. It's like, hey, what's the deal? And they guess it has something to do with Shredder and Krang.
What?
The turtles are just like, it's got to be Shredder and Krang.
Well, who else is it going to be?
Yeah, but it's also like, I mean,
who else is it going to be?
It could have been Baxter. They don't know where the hell Baxter is.
Baxter is 1 second ahead of them. He's always 1 second ahead.
Yeah, he could have made
he traveled in the future 1 second.
That's the best because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
It makes sense. It's just stupid.
No, it doesn't because they would just run into him a second later.
No. I sent you into the future by 1 second. And
I would have run into you in a second.
No, because he's somewhere else. They're always behind him.
I'm aware with the logic of the show.
Oh, wait, no, let's think about this for a second. Wouldn't he run into the future version of the turtles?
Yes, a 1 second in the future turtles, which would be zero difference.
I get what you're saying now. I understand.
It's like if I sent you 50 years in the future, you would see 50-year-old me.
Yes.
Or like 50-year plus me.
Yeah, but you can't. It doesn't matter what you do to that version of you, though, because the past matters.
It's an alternate dimension time stream.
Now I'm getting into time travel.
Anyway,
that was the stupidest thing ever. That episode is so funny.
The best.
So they just assume it's Shredder correctly, and then Shredder. There's a part where Krang is telling Shredder to cool off. You know, stop, you know, using the machine too much. You're gonna break something.
Yeah, because Shredder's gonna boost the power. He's like, I'm gonna boost this so high that it's gonna fuck everything up.
Because everybody will be floating in the air and they can't fight back, and he'll take over the city. That's his plan.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is true. It's just kind of funny. Well,
no, because it turns off because Shredder overloads it by turning it too high. That's why everyone falls.
Oh, okay.
So Shredder does emergency repairs on it or something.
Okay.
Then the turtles are driving around looking for the source of it, which Where are they going? They're just like, let's just drive around Manhattan and see if something happens.
First off, how is he able to drive around Manhattan so easily? There's no cars on the road?
No, there's no cars in Manhattan. Everyone knows this.
No, Manhattan doesn't have a traffic problem at all. It's just clear driving.
You know why no one drives in Manhattan?
Nope.
Because the traffic's so bad.
Yes. Not in Ninja Turtles, though.
No. Joke.
I get it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Not a good joke. But they drive around, and Raphael says they were driving for 2 hours, they didn't find anything.
We found a few bombs, picked up some hookers, got some pizza, but no Shredder.
No Shredder. They were just in the tunnel for 2 hours. They were just in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And they were just like, we drove from West 14th to West 15th in 2 hours.
2 hours. I remember once my dad came to pick me up in Manhattan. And I told him, he wanted to go by car. And I said, that's a really bad idea. And he went, no, it'll be fine. And I went, that's a really bad idea. Then he picks me up from school. Sure enough, he's in traffic for an hour and he's complaining. And I said, I told you to just take the train. You didn't listen to me.
For freshman year, we had to do like painting. So I had like this huge canvas. And right. I was like, I had to bring it home the next day. So I told my dad like the night before, I was like, hey, Dad, could you drive into the city and pick me up? Because I got this huge painting. He was like, no.
Yeah, because he's smart.
He's like, no, I'm not driving to the city. That's stupid.
Yeah, he was right.
So I'm on the subway carrying this giant painting.
He wouldn't be the first person.
No, it was just like my dad was like, no, fuck off.
Yeah, your dad was a smart man that day. I remember...
Very smart man.
Somebody I went to school with, you know him, I'm not going to say his name though. For one of our classes, we had to make a piece of furniture that is like... ridiculous or defeats the purpose of what it's for.
Yeah.
Right. Or something like kind of like a silly piece of furniture. So he made a crucifix coat rack. And he had this giant wooden crucifix he made. It was huge.
Carry it home.
And he carried it through the street.
Did he carry it on his back? And like,
carried it on his back like Jesus.
That's the best.
And then everybody was, of course, making a comment. You know, oh, you don't have to bear that cross for us. Somebody stabbed him with a spear in his side. put a crown of thorns on him on the way to the D train.
Then someone wiped his face off of blood.
Yeah, that's right. We made the Shroud of Thorn. You know?
What stage is that? 8? 9? It's 12 stages, right?
12 stages. Oh, all
the cross.
Station.
I remember that. I went to Sunday school.
I should know better. I didn't just go to Sunday school.
Oh, you lived that life.
I went to Catholic school from pre-K until the end of high school.
Yeah. Anyway,
I was in the school play. I was crucified.
Really? You played?
I was one of the thieves. I was one of the like useless guys.
You played Barabbas.
Whatever his name was, I was one of the guys.
Barabbas was the one that was he was let free in place of Jesus.
No, that wasn't the guy.
You were just crucified.
I was just a guy who got crucified next to Jesus. And of course, my school was too cheap to afford any, you know, set pieces or anything like that. So we just stood there with our arms out as if we're being crucified. We have to pretend we're being crucified.
It's like, before we crucify Jesus, let's crucify Steve.
Exactly. And you know what was funny too is there was a part where like they had me play every character. It didn't matter.
It was a one-man show.
It was like there was all these characters, then there was me, and I was always this in-between fellow character. And at one point, I played the Roman soldier that protected, you know, where Jesus' body was.
Yeah.
And this one kid, what a jerk this kid was. He says to me, okay, your job is to stand there with your arm out as if you're holding a sword, you know, to protect the area. And you can't put your arm down, ever. You keep it up the whole time. And I did. I stood there like an idiot during the whole scene with my arm up in the air, pretending to hold the sword for maybe 10 minutes. And my arm is shaking, you know, because it hurts and I want to put it down, but I won't do it. And then afterwards, the teacher goes, you did a really good job doing that. I mean, you didn't have to keep your arm up in the air that long. I don't know why you did that. And then the other kid just started laughing. Thanks, jerk.
That's the best.
That was grade school. Then we had a chocolate drive. Like every good Catholic school. Then immediately right into the chocolate drive. I got ashes put on my head for Ash Wednesday, and then I stole chocolate.
Ash
Wednesday.
Anyway.
Compete with the other kids who had the better cross on their forehead. That was a Catholic school thing. Oh, I screwed yours up. Mine's good.
Yeah.
And then the turtles beat Shredder. The end.
Anyway, so speaking of driving, they're driving around the city.
You know, I feel like I just have to interject this into the podcast as well before I forget. It's one of these things I want to almost say because I'm going to forget if I don't. We also had a play when I was in grade school. Well, I was too young to be in it, but we had this kid who was supposed to be Super Mario.
That must have pissed you off that he couldn't be in the Super Mario play.
I was very annoyed. But here's the funniest part of the whole thing. So we got this kid who's the star of the play. And I don't know who wrote this play, but apparently it was a play about Super Mario, and he had to do something probably related to, I don't know, Christianity or I don't know what.
Of course.
It had to tie into Catholic stuff. And I'll never forget, it was, all right, you have a school in Brooklyn, you know, with 85 to 90% of the kids there are Italian-American. They find the one Chinese kid to play Super Mario. Really? You couldn't get one of the many Dago kids? No, we gotta get the Chinese kid to play Super Mario.
Oh.
I think their logic was, Super Mario's from Japan.
I was gonna say, that has to be the logic.
That was the only way it made any sense to me. Okay, I understand that Super Mario was made by a Japanese company, but the character is Italian. So why do you have this Chinese kid playing Super Mario? And you know what lines he had? This is the only thing he said the whole play. Boing, boing, boing. Because all he could do was pretend to jump. He had no lines. Right. So maybe they hadn't put the kid in the play and he didn't speak English. So maybe that was the logic. Like, okay, he's a foreign exchange student, doesn't speak English. We have to put him in the play. So give him a character that can't talk. It'll be fine.
Ugh.
That was the other play my school had. We had two plays. I was in one of them. I got crucified. I held the sword. And then before that, we had a kid who was Chinese playing Super Mario saying bounce, bounce, or boing, boing, or some noise. That noise that Mario makes when he jumps. He tried to impersonate it.
Yeah.
And then the kid would just jump around the stage in overalls. That was it. I'm not making this up. This is true. This actually happened. And now we can talk about the turtle.
So the turtles are driving around the city. Right? For hours. And then they can't find anything, but then they see like this weird gravity field. And then they drive into it, and it's like a hyper gravity field or something.
Of course.
And so it makes the turtle van flip over out of nowhere, just like boom, it just crashed.
That's what it does.
It's like, do you ever watch Wet Hot American Summer?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Like that scene where the guy crashes the van for no reason.
I don't remember that scene for some reason.
The dude is driving home to get laid.
Okay.
The guy with the fro.
Okay, okay.
And he's like driving down the street, and it's driving down like this road, and it's completely empty. And he just drives, and then all of a sudden he goes, "Oh no!" And it turns into a tree out of nowhere. The fucking best.
I vaguely remember this.
It's like a completely empty field. There's not a tree in sight, and he just turns and runs into a tree.
That's pretty awesome, actually. I was talking to somebody at work about that movie, and they said they've never seen it.
It's
and
the
I said,
fucking best.
Really? You've never seen Wet Hot American Summer? God, you gotta see that movie.
My friend doesn't like it, and I was like, I don't understand you.
We're not friends anymore.
Stop being we actually watched it in front of her. Like, me and my other friend, we're watching it now.
We don't care.
Because you don't like this, we're watching that.
Oh, you don't like this? Guess what I'm in the mood to watch.
Ugh.
And then Turtle Van gets flipped over. And then now it cuts to Bebop, Rocksteady, and Shredder. And Shredder decides that he's going to send Bebop and Rocksteady out there to do something. I don't know what they're supposed to do.
To kill the turtles, I guess, because shit's fucked up. But we give them, like, those crazy boots to,
Gives them moon boots.
Yeah, those moon boots. Those moon shoes.
Moon shoes. You know what they remind me of? Those shoes you had to wear when you were a kid, when it was snowing?
Yeah.
Like those little moon shoes, whatever they were called. Yep. So they go out wearing those. That's so they don't float away.
Yeah.
And then
it's not that they don't float away, because the gravity is super high, so it brings everything to the ground, right? Is it? Or is it going the other way?
I think it's going the other way.
With hypergravity.
I don't know how hypergravity works.
Yeah. Whoa, we're dealing with hypergravity. This isn't regular gravity, guys. We're dealing with hypergravity.
Where the hell is Baxter now? We need somebody to explain this. Okay.
He's 2 seconds in the future dealing with the current hypergravity. He solved the problem. It's just a second in the future.
He solved it 2 seconds later.
We're dealing with hypergravity, guys.
Hey guys, this is hypergravity. Did you ever see the intro for Thundar the Barbarian? This is gonna sound unrelated, but it is related.
Yes.
Alright, there's a part in the intro that's
like in the year 1997.
1994. 1994, there's an earth like a catastrophe and the earth gets destroyed. And then it cuts to, you know, now there's this kind of it's kind of a cool idea. It's the future, but it's barbaric again. And there's a part where in the intro it goes, Thundar has to deal with, you know, this and that. And then there's a wizard and he makes this monster and it goes, and super science. Like, watch out. It's super science. The way it works is that wizards can cast it. But it's science.
I love the term super science.
That's why I thought of it like hypergravity. Like, it's like the same thing. Like when you were a kid, everything was super, super, you know, Mario Kart, super this, super that.
So they're wearing their moon boots and to deal with the hypergravity. And they go up to a dress store?
Yeah. No, I love how they get in there. So the drill just goes through the floor in the store. Like,
ooh, why? Why are there's two girls and they're complaining to the owner of the store about something?
They don't want to pay for the dresses he's going to sell them, or I don't know. They don't like the way the dresses fit.
But are they not dealing with the hypergravity?
I guess not.
No, but they do at the end.
Then suddenly, they just appear through the floor. I literally laughed out loud at that scene. You just see these women chewing this guy out, and then this drill machine just comes through the freaking floorboards. Boom!
And they storm out with their guns and their giant boots.
Yeah, and then the women pass out, or one of them passes out, I think. And then the other woman says, okay, fine, I'll buy the dresses. And the other guy goes, oh, I didn't do this on purpose. It wasn't a ploy to get you to buy dresses. Well, clearly he didn't destroy his own store.
Oh, yeah.
A dress.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Rocksteady and Bebop are going to get the turtles who are flipped over. And Rocksteady says, oh boy, my favorite, turtle stew. Because somehow being upside down in a van.
No, he didn't say, turtles in a shell or something.
No, he says stew. I remember because it was so weird. And then he goes in there to get them, and they decide to take his shoes. So they take his moon boots, and then his smelly feet are drawn. You see, like, he's got, like, a stinky sock.
He has hobo socks.
He's got hobo socks.
Which is the fucking... That's my favorite part of the whole episode, is hobo socks.
It's pretty funny.
Like, he has a... Oh man, it's the best. And they're all brown and shit.
They take his sock off and throw it at him to defeat him, to keep him on the ground.
He passes out with the stink of his own socks.
He stinks of his own feet. He passes out.
But then there's a scene where like they go, they try to throw the boots onto Mikey's feet.
Yep.
And they're like 3 points or something.
I guess.
And he throws it, and like it lands perfectly. Like that could never happen.
No.
Like try throwing a shoe onto someone's foot. It'll never like. That's the fucking craziest.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And then what happens after that?
Mikey goes out to fight the footman, but he can't use his nunchucks because gravity is affecting them too much.
Actually, this is one of my favorite parts of the episode. So then I like when the foot soldiers, he tricks them into shooting each other.
Yeah.
And then they melt. It was freaking hilarious. They just melt.
And then he steals their still smoking shoes. Like he picks up, there's still like smoke coming out of them. Like they're...
I would love to see somebody get shot by a laser and just melt. That would just be incredible. You know, it's so funny. And then after that...
Well, then they realize that the birds aren't affected by the super gravity, which doesn't make any sense.
It's hypergravity.
Sorry. It's hypergravity. It's not super gravity. They would totally be affected by super gravity.
Hypergravity? Hello?
Hypergravity sounds like a toy I would buy if I was a kid.
This is...
The new edition of Crossfire by Mattel, now with hypergravity.
I would totally buy that. I'd buy that now. That's like blast processing.
Yeah.
Blast processing for the Genesis. It's not just normal processing, it blasts you.
Blast processing was an actual thing. Like.
Yeah, but it was called blast processing.
It was just called blast processing.
It probably had a real term, whatever it was, but they just called it.
It looks like mode 7 on the
That's not fun.
Yeah, it's not as fun.
Do we have a word that's like this today? Because, you know, when we were kids, it was the letter X, you know, put that in everything, and, you know, blast processing and hypergravity. It's
organic and all natural.
That's not cool at all. There's nothing cool
organic
about
organic processing.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, plasma gravity.
Back when we were kids, you could add X, super, hyper, to anything, and you'd like, I'm buying that. I don't know.
Whoa,
that looks pretty good. You think I'm a fucking
idiot? Wait, which Raphael is this? He's got hyper nunchucks. I'm getting those. Dude, Michelangelo has hyper nunchucks. I'm picking up this one.
That was the best thing about the turtle figures. You never buy the regular ones because you could always have like, oh, I'm gonna buy this one has like fucking guns. I'm gonna buy the one with the guns. And now as an adult, I'm like, fuck, I wish I had bought the original.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm always going, I wish I had the actual, you know, figures. I just have the weird ones. Oh, Raphael's.
You have like 30 versions of Raph, and you're like, these are all stupid. Why is he dressed like a clown? This is dumb.
Why is Raphael a wizard?
Why did I buy Cowboy Donatello? It's fucking stupid.
I have Dinosaur Leonardo.
Dinosaur Leonardo. Oh, we should do an episode just on the toys.
That'd be pretty funny, actually.
That would be a long-ass episode because there's too many toys.
I feel like if I ever make action figures one day, if it got to the point where they were excessive, like I made action figures out of something I made, I would start doing things where it would be, you know, Leonardo, Accountant Leonardo. And like, he's just like
Lawyer accountant. Donatello.
In his single bachelor's apartment condominium. Help clean his apartment up. Uh-oh, he ran out of groceries. Use the Toyota.
He comes his very own Toyota Accord.
Prius.
His very own Prius. Eco-friendly Don.
Eco-friendly Donatello. He cares about the environment.
He goes to Whole Foods with his tote bag.
Hyper-offended Rocksteady. He's crazy. Rhino writes on Twitter.
It's Tumblr Raph.
Tumblr Raph. Everything upsets him. Includes his own invisible cube. A safe space. Nothing can get through here. Oh, that'd be pretty awesome, actually. I kind of wish it existed. Anyway, so let's just wrap this one up because I have to go to work.
So they find out that the birds aren't affected by gravity.
That's right.
So they decide we should get the turtle blimp. And that'll help us for some reason.
Right.
Mikey comes back but ends up only getting 4 boots or 3 boots for 4 turtles or something. So they end up walking like two per boot.
Yeah.
They get the turtle blimp and they, because Beelzebub and Rocksteady go back down, and they're like, we don't have the turtles, and Shredder gets mad, so Shredder goes up, and turns on the gravity like crazy super high,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't affect the blimp.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what happens after that. There's a bunch of pizza.
Well, then everything, like, when he turns the gravity up super high, the buildings go up in the air, which is great. And I'm thinking, there's no easy fix to that. And then at the end, when the gravity gets back to normal, the buildings just land exactly where they came from, and it's fine.
Oh, but they also, there's a point where, like, they go, they want to use the satellite dish on the 29, on the Channel 9 building, right?
Yep.
And Leo goes, like, look at that dish. And Irma's like, thank you. Thinking they're talking about her.
He's not.
He's like, oh, I'm talking about the satellite dish. And he goes, oh, not the first time.
Not you.
But then what do they use the dish for? To reverse the rays somehow?
Reverse the rays somehow.
Hypergravity, they know. Hypergravity. Don knows about it. Of course Don knows about it.
That's how Don knows how to do it. It's hypergravity, let's be real.
And they use the dish to, like, just reverse the rays, and they blast it. Everything falls back into place, and Shredder exits stage left.
That's right. That's the episode.
But at the end, Mikey walks in with a bunch of pizzas, and Shredder's like, and Shredder's like, you're still eating too much. He's like, fuck you, I went through a whole day without gravity. I'm gonna eat more pizza.
And that's the episode. There it is.
That's a good one. Actually, it's not a good episode. That's actually a pretty bad episode.
Fun episode to make fun of.
Yeah, I didn't really like it.
I felt like it got old pretty quick.
Yeah, it got to a point where they were like, once Shredder comes up, you're like, oh, just fucking end it. Like, we gotta beat him. Like, it's not even... There's nothing there. There's nothing more...
The gimmick gets old within maybe, I feel, 5 minutes. Okay, the float in the air.
Yeah.
You know, we got it.
No, for the majority of this episode, the turtles are stuck in a van.
The animators, you know, they had to cut the budget that day.
Nobody moves.
They just float around.
It was a short week.
Yep.
Memorial Day week, guys. They had to...
Exactly. There it is. And we're done.
We're done. No editing of that one.
Nope, not gonna edit it. It's gonna put it right up. Anyway, I'm King Cowabunga heading out.
I'm Peter Tossenbub.
Later.